This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. When it comes to women in the workplace in San Antonio, there is still a long way to go to achieve power parity. The highest positions in corporate leadership are still out of reach. An analysis of 330 companies and 22 city government entities by the San Antonio Business Journal found that women lead about 31% of companies with at least 100 employees. What is the state of San Antonio women in the corner office? Why are some of these top jobs out of reach for women in the workplace? What's keeping women from rising to positions as CEOs and on the corporate boards of directors? We want to hear your stories. Have you run into the glass ceiling? What are the myths that persist that we need to bust and shatter and put away forever when we talk about women in leadership roles in our city government, in our free enterprise system, in nonprofits? You know, how can we stop this barrier to allowing the best talent to achieve the highest positions? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980. It's a community conversation. We want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. And also you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour by Tony Quesada. He is the editor-in-chief of the San Antonio Business Journal, and he was one of the leaders on this report that y'all published. Tony, welcome.
Thank you.
Also with us is Jessica Corso. She is a reporter for the San Antonio Business Journal. She covers manufacturing and the energy sectors for the report. Jessica, hi.
Hi.
And also with us is Deanna Sanchez, the CEO of the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Deanna, welcome to The Source.
Hi.
So, Tony, tell us about the report. What was the genesis for taking this project on, and what did y'all find?
Well, the position of women in corporate America is something that's of importance to the 43 business journals in our company. We're one of the American City Business Journals. We have a website called Biz Women. It's been around for a while. We also do an event annually called the Biz Women Mentoring Monday. So we're very interested in that, and we were challenged, all the editors of the business journals were challenged to come up with a project that would really start a conversation like we're having right now. And we chose to look at and kind of quantify as best we could how women are faring at the highest levels. We kind of went past how they're doing in the workplace in general, because we want to see how they're doing at the highest levels at the largest companies. And so we have four staff reporters. We also had an associate editor working on this project. And so we just started counting, started figuring out what companies we were going to put into this analysis based on their size and their position in the local industry. And we just started counting. And then once we had finished counting and crunched the numbers, then the staff writers started writing their findings, talking to people like Jane Feigenbaum. She's a CEO of Metro, a general contracting company, and throughout the city. And as you mentioned, Jessica had two pieces of that pie.
Right. And so y'all found that San Antonio, we have 31% of companies being led by women, or at least that San Antonio is doing a smidge better than the national average?
It is actually doing a little bit better than the national average, which is not a high bar by any stretch. And when you look at the different industries, some are doing much better than others, and some are still way down. So, for example, when you look at commercial real estate, and within commercial real estate, there's a few subsectors within that, like developers, brokerages, architectures, engineering, construction, you're looking at about 12%. So you look at all the C-level executives, and if they have boards, taking a look at their boards as well, and you're looking at 12%. So it's a very low number. It's one of the most traditionally, as they say, good old boy industries around. And then you have other industries like healthcare, which are approaching parity in those industries, at least in San Antonio.
So some industries are doing better than others. Jessica Corso with the Business Journal, you're covering manufacturing and the energy sectors in the report. And are these some of the sectors that are lagging? How are they doing?
Yeah, they're not doing great is the answer to that. So I analyzed both energy and manufacturing a little differently. With energy, I took a look at 10 companies. These are some of our biggest companies like Valero, Newstar, but also CPS Energy. And what I found across these 10 companies, mostly oil and gas, is about 24% of their management teams are women. So that's about a quarter. And if you take CPS out of the equation, CPS has a massive management team of about 36, 17 of whom are women. I mean, led by a woman.
Yeah.
So if you take them out of the equation, because they're doing pretty well in this sector, you're talking about 15% across the other nine companies of their management teams are women. So it's pretty dismal. With manufacturing, it's a little difficult, more difficult to count because most manufacturers in San Antonio are small. Small companies without really a traditional management team or board. But I reached out to Ray Chavez, who heads up the San Antonio Manufacturers Association, and he gave me a list of 20 running from CEOs to senior designers across 370 SAMA members, only 190 of whom are manufacturers. So you're talking about, you know, at best 10% in manufacturing. So neither of those industries is doing particularly well when it comes to getting female leaders on board.
Deanne Sanchez with the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, CEO. Why is it important that we monitor and we track this statistic?
I think that there's a lot of facets in what's happening right now, and I sort of just take the numbers that we looked at for San Antonio and take them to another level, which is at the state level as well. And I think that what we're seeing is that 83% of the what we call the top 88 companies that were among the Fortune 1000 here in Texas have all male board directors, as an example. So we're it's a cultural thing right now, to the extent of the fact that we're not really recognizing the value that women bring to the diversity of these boards, and there's a need there for us to be competitive in the markets that we represent, and also giving women the opportunity, being that we do represent over half of the buying power in this country, and in a lot of these sectors, that recognizing that there is value to women being on the boards, and we need to consider. And I look at it more from a diversity standpoint of different ways to look at things and actually make things happen. But the other thing that concerns me is I also wear another hat, where I'm the chair of the National Association of Corporate Directors for the San Antonio chapter, and that's an organization that pretty much represents governance for the majority of the public private sector companies in the country. 98% of the companies are members of that. And what we found is not only the few of these women on boards, but few of them are on paying boards, which is very important, which are basically at the corporate level that are not nonprofit, but the corporate boards that we would know of today for paying.
All right, we're going to take a break. The number is 210-614-8980. Are you a woman who's held a corporate leadership role in San Antonio, sat on a corporate board of directors? What's your experience been in getting there? What do you think about the status quo of female executive leadership? What needs to change the workplace environment so that we can have power parity in these top corporate jobs? We want you to call in. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. 80. The source continues right after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. We're talking about gender parity in corporate leadership. What's holding back women in the workplace? Is there a glass ceiling, and how do we shatter that? We want to hear your stories. What have you experienced? The number is 210-614-8980. Deanne Sanchez, CEO of the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. You are an experienced CEO. You've led companies. Have you experienced this yourself?
I have, in the sense of, for the most part, I think most of my career I've spent as an intrapreneur, which means that I've been the CEO of Fortune 500 companies for divisions in emerging markets. And so what I saw was I was probably the only female in that capacity at the time, and it was again, it was difficult and challenging to become part of a, as Tony mentioned, I think, a good old boy network, and actually be feel a part of the team. But one thing that I will stress, and you asked this earlier, is the contribution that I was able to make as a female and with the diverse background was unquestionable based on the results and the building the teams that we needed, which were truly diverse teams. So I think that's the opportunity. And I think once I was there, people appreciated the value that you brought. But getting there, and one thing I didn't expect was, one thing is, it's hard enough getting there, but it's even harder staying there. That's something that we need to make sure that our women are prepared because of the environment that they're working in.
And Jessica Corso, reporter for the San Antonio Business Journal, in doing the reporting, I imagine you interviewed women who are doing well, and what are they telling you?
Yeah, so in the manufacturing space, I interviewed a woman named Mona Helmy. She's one of the few manufacturing CEOs in San Antonio. She runs a plastics company. One of the things she told me that really stuck out to me is the issue of financing. Women in corporate leadership or women trying to start businesses are still having difficulty getting banks to lend to them. I read a report that of startup funding, at least. So these are women who are looking to found their own businesses, which in a space like manufacturing is often where women leaders are going to come in. They 9 out of 10 startup dollars are still going to men. I also read a study about pitches made by women, women who are pitching businesses, the same exact pitch that a man would give for a business is more likely to be funded than that pitch given by a woman. So, I mean, that's one area that women are struggling in is getting finances to start their own companies.
So Tony Quesada with the San Antonio Business Journal, editor-in-chief, and you led this report. Entrepreneurship is something that San Antonio is really trying to take a lead in, but are we seeing a problem with women finding open doors when it comes to especially tech entrepreneurship?
Well, as Jessica just said, that it is difficult for them to get funding, which we do have in San Antonio a good number of examples of women who have cut through. I think a lot needs to be leaned on to get kind of turn this around. You really need champions, people who keep it top of mind, who are very, I've heard the term used, intentional about it. So the more that successful women and successful men make it a priority to mentor and champion for women to move up, whether it's in entrepreneurial, as Diana said, or whether it is through entrepreneurship. There are a number of entrepreneur programs in San Antonio. When you walk through their halls, you will find that they're mostly men. Until it's a very intentional process to encourage and recruit, and it can't start soon enough,
sure,
like down at the high school level.
But it seems like there has to be some sort of institutional bias at work here in order to have such meager results. Mm-hmm. I mean,
sometimes there's a lot to be said for the power of momentum and inertia.
And sometimes it has to be said for this, the power of ignorance.
Yeah, perhaps.
And myths and stuff that we need to just put away.
Absolutely. San Antonio is a very open and community. When you see female leaders who are succeeding, they're generally welcomed, Diana being an example of that. It's just there's not a lot of intentional action to promote it and to cultivate it early on. There's some, but not enough.
Okay, I'm going to go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. We really would like to hear from women in our community or men who have something to say about how we can bring parity into the corporate leadership. And let's go to Harmony. Hi, Harmony. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Okay, I had to laugh at the man saying that San Antonio is a very open community. Actually, it's a number of communities, and it depends where you go, how you're going to be accepted. When I got to San Antonio about 21 years ago, I looked for a job, and my qualifications were impeccable. The first one I went to, and it was playing piano in a church. And I went there, played some music of my own. The guy was very impressed. And then he looked at what I had written out. He said, what kind of name is, and I'm not going to give my name because I just don't feel like going there, but it's a Jewish name. He said, what kind of name is that? And I said, well, first of all, it's my late husband's name, and second of all, I'm not sure what you're getting at. I knew exactly what he was
saying. So Harmony, it seemed like you were dealing with some prejudice there, and that, I guess that job didn't go well for you. And
and then I went to a second interview at a Baptist school, and the same thing happened, the same exact conversation. If you had taped them both, you could have played them back together. They would have been in sync.
So, Harmony, you think that this is you're being prejudiced, you're being discriminated against because you're a woman or because they didn't like your last name?
Both.
Okay. Harmony, thank you so much for calling in. Very important that you brought that to the table. Deanna Sanchez, with the CEO of the Deanna Sanchez with the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Isn't it illegal to discriminate against women on the basis of gender in the workplace?
It is. I think though, if we've gotten to where it's a cultural thing. Again, I go back to the same thing. I left Texas in 1981 and came back in 2011, and I was sort of somewhat surprised as how conservative and how reserved we were about empowering women. And a lot of that is I think it's institutional now. It's institutionalized where it just becomes a norm, and we've accepted it. And I think one thing Tony mentioned earlier, we've started to the extent of the commitment and really trying to empower women. We've pulled together, like I've pulled together through what we're doing between the chamber and the NACD, a group of the top 20, 25 women in San Antonio that I consider the top C levels, and try to help them to see, are you on paying boards? You know, are you at, how can you leverage to influence boards to actually drive more diversity? And what I found, and these women are top performers of the top companies that we have, they're very limited in their exposure to boards and their ability to compete, to participate, to negotiate board seats. And I think those are things that, as a community, we need to do because it's not something that women have been empowered to seek.
Can women go to the labor department or HR if they feel like they have been denied a promotion or plum assignments because of their gender?
Yeah, they absolutely can. But I think that the challenge for us is basically to qualify and to actually prove the point that that's what's driven a lot of the argument is you're not qualified, or it's a subjective assessment that's not
or
that
you can
easily
be,
measured.
Are you know, blackballed, and that's not a good way to have a cure.
Well, it's just like you look at the fact that now with
unfortunately.
I'm looking at the numbers here for Hispanics. I mean, that's 8% of the new Fortune 500 board members are white in 2018. There's very few Hispanics. I think the women, the minority women took up 6% of total of 71 seats in the nation's top 100 companies. So it's not only a local issue, it's a state issue, and it's a national issue that for some reason we don't value or seek out women on these boards, yet we're the ones that have the most purchasing power. We make the biggest decisions on healthcare. We make 80-something percent of the decisions on healthcare. So a lot of it, I really believe it's going to be a numbers game, is that if we harness the power that women represent and the contribution that they represent and hold ourselves accountable, you're going to start seeing things. And I think that's where San Antonio is. Women feel empowered now, and they want to weigh in and actually participate, and it's our job to give them that opportunity to be the voice.
So Jessica Corso, reporter with the San Antonio Business Journal, what did you hear out there about why women aren't having more success getting to that top office?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a matter of perception. I mean, when you can't get to the top, you have to start at the bottom, right? But a lot of women aren't coming into these industries. So, you know, for example, in energy, I go to energy conferences all the time. The energy industry, particularly oil and gas, loves to hold conferences. You know, I started here in January, and I've been to probably at least a dozen energy conferences since then. You walk into a room and, you know, I could be one of the very few females there, and you get that sense of I'm not welcome in this room. And I think that's sort of how the problem perpetuates itself, right? If you walk into a room of all men, whether it's, you know, people at the beginning of their career, college students, or all the way up to leadership, then you feel like you know where do I belong in this picture?
Yeah, I've really come to believe that a lot of it is encouraging youth at the earliest level that they can do this, regardless of their gender. When you look, I mentioned the healthcare industry is doing pretty well in San Antonio. You have a number of CEOs of local hospitals that have been named recently who are women. And of course, because nursing has traditionally been a female majority profession, you have a lot of chief of nursing, nursing chiefs who are women, and they count in our analysis. Then you look at other professions like engineering and STEM degrees, and you look at the percentages, and they're much lower.
You look at the number of women who are in higher education right now; they're outnumbering males. There are definitely women who are getting the STEM degrees. And but are they going to be on the workbench? Or are they going to be in the boardroom?
Right. Well, I mean, if they're 22 years old right now, it's going to be a while before they can get into C-level positions. And as I said, what they need to do is you need to be able to recognize talent, regardless of gender. And then when you recognize that talent, there needs to be people who are championing that talent and helping it progress. Many of the women who we have met who are in high levels. High positions right now can point to one or two or maybe even a half a dozen people of all genders who have been champions for them to move up in their organizations or move to other companies in higher positions. That needs to be something that men don't just gravitate to other men to help them promote. And when women do get into those positions, they're also called upon to help champion other women who have the ability but might not get recognized if not someone looking to help them move up.
All right, we're going to take another break. Our phone lines are open. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Are you a woman in a corporate leadership role on a board of directors in San Antonio? What was your experience getting there? What do you think about the status quo of female executive leadership? What needs to change? Do you think that there are male spaces in the workplace that don't welcome women, and that's the barrier, and we need to change that? Call in. We want to hear from you. 210-614-8980. The source continues.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Are women more likely to achieve leadership status in certain industries? What can be done in San Antonio to shatter glass ceilings and reward the top talent regardless of gender? We're talking about gender parity in corporate leadership in the high offices, but also wage parity, which impacts almost everyone, all women. So what's your view on that? How has it impacted you? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Deanne Sanchez, CEO of the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, what have you seen on the question of wage parity?
I think that's a real issue. And if you look at it, just even starting from our perspective here in San Antonio, Hispanic females, just looking at wages alone, we make 60 cents to the dollar of what a white male would make. And I think women, white females make 82 cents. So that's an issue just at the wage level. But if you take it further up into middle senior management, and then you take it to the board level, I mean, just look at the analysis of some of the public figures that we've had and compare what they're making now, what their predecessors may have been making 4 to 5 years before. Women are just not put in and are not given equal pay for equal work consistently. And I think that's an initiative that we definitely want to get behind in San Antonio at all levels, because that's going to make a serious impact of making sure that there is some scrutiny and some oversight of what it is that we're paying our women for comparable pay.
When we have more women in the boardrooms and corporate leaderships, is there anything outcome related? Do we see better performance at all, Deanne?
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing now, that basically there is, when we have diversity within the boards, we see that for the most part, the board is able to reexamine facts and better process information. They are also more innovative, and they remain objective more than a monolithic board. So we are seeing basically a significant difference, and that's valued as it relates to the performance, the financial performance of the corporations and their competitiveness. So it is actually documented that there is value in actually bringing diversity and bringing women on boards.
Tony Quesada, editor-in-chief of the San Antonio Business Journal, is there a national movement to fix this? I mean, we've seen stuff in California, right?
Well, yes. The California passed a law that, and I don't know, recall the specifics of it, but that does put threshold numbers that have to be met, legally bound numbers. Deanna was mentioning during the break that in Europe it's been the law for quite some time that there's gender parity on corporate boards. There is a lot to be said for, they got the carrot or the stick, and sometimes the stick can be helpful. To kind of force people to do what, as these reports show, are actually in their best interest financially in many cases.
Yeah, okay. I think just to reiterate what Tony just said, I'm looking at this as it relates to California's has to have at least one female director on their boards by December 31st, 2019, either by filing an open seat or by adding a seat. So that's the bar that's been set in California.
That's not a real high bar. I mean, it's just not. I mean, we have a number of corporate boards who do have one female member, but if you have 10 board seats, it's not going to get you there very fast.
Jessica Corso, reporter for the San Antonio Business Journal.
Yeah, just to sort of go a little bit deeper on the point that Tony made, of the 10 companies that I analyzed in energy, 5 of them had no women on their management team, and many of them had no board members as well. So it's a problem, and particularly in these were all fossil fuel companies, so particularly in oil and gas. We can't just rely on women to pull other women up. Men need to do their part too, because if you have a room full of all men, one of them has to stand up and say something about it.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to go to the phone lines, and the number is 210-614-8980. Let's get Tracy on the air. Tracy, hi. Thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment. The gentleman on your panel keeps saying that we need to motivate women to take these CEO positions, but the statistics show that women are receiving the education for these positions, but they're not in them. So to me, the problem is that, you know, the men of these corporations are acting as the gatekeepers and not allowing the women to rise to these positions.
All right. Tracy, thank you for that. So that gets to one of the myths that exist about women in these leadership roles. And one of the myths is that they're not ambitious. Deanne Sanchez, CEO of the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, how does that ring to your ears?
No, I would disagree. I think they are ambitious. I think to Tony's point, what I think you were alluding to, Tony, was that we just need to we need to take our position and stand our position that we deserve to be on these boards and be persistent and try to get the support and hold people accountable. Because I really think that that's probably the biggest problem we have right now is that we're not holding people accountable and we're accepting. The other thing is I think we've just been complacent. We've accepted, I've lived all over this country and throughout the world, and it's hard to find stronger women than there are Texas women. I just don't think that we've really recognized them and held the boards and some of these executives accountable for putting women on those positions.
And so, Tony, there are certain areas y'all looked at in your report, commercial real estate, law, healthcare, tech, manufacturing, energy, banking, and city government. Which one of these areas do you think was actually doing the best in providing equality for women?
Well, city government, actually. Because when you look at city government, what we quantified was the council, which happens to be majority women right now, city boards, and then the city manager, like deputy city manager level, and all the department heads of city departments. We counted them in this analysis. And they're close to parity right now. They're like 40, almost 47%.
There's still women on the city council who are calling for greater representation in boards and in the city.
Yeah, it can still be better. There's a number of boards that still have no women on them, like advisory boards, and then others are very well represented. So there's still some room for improvement there. Some of the industries that still need quite a bit of improvement, we looked at locally based law firms. And when you're looking at law firms, then you start counting partners. And we found 27%. Of locally based law firms have women as partners. We, like I said, we looked at healthcare. That was actually doing pretty well, almost 41%. In the tech sector that we looked at, it was right around 28%. And manufacturing, Jessica mentioned manufacturing. Again, that's hard to quantify. We looked at energy. That came out around 24%. Banking and finance, which is credit unions and banks, locally based banks, we're looking at about 22%.
Wow, that's shameful.
Yeah.
But I want to get to technology because there's another myth that needs to be taken on head on and put away, that women and technology don't mix. That might be, and then we hear that as an excuse why there aren't more women entrepreneurs in the technology world. Deanne Sanchez, what's your take on that?
I disagree. I've spent 35 years in the tech sector, and I'm not an engineer by trade. My degree was in international business and business, but I think most women now have an aptitude for technology, and that's demonstrated based on the tools and the engagement that we have. I think that, and if you look at the graduation rate, most of the graduates in engineering and all are women. I think the opportunity here is, again, you know, giving them the opportunity to access to finance as entrepreneurs, and also putting them in leadership positions from the get-go and making them realize that they belong there and that they feel comfortable there. I think that's the challenge that we have as a community.
A lot of these myths are just nonsense. One of them is, men can't work with women. And the other one is that women can't work with women. It seems like they're just throwing these things up there. These are myths that actually do exist in the workplace. And it just seems just to be a rationalization for a bias that exists. And we have to figure out, identify the bias and help people recognize it in themselves and in their institutions and figure out how can we get past that. So are there active ways of doing that? Are there consultants, Tony, that help the businesses deal with this situation? Because this is a problem, right?
Right, and it's a company by company thing. I mean, you talk about company culture. And I suppose there are consultants who do that. I know there's consultants who work on company culture and things like that. So you have to know what kind of company you're in and what your culture is. And it just really requires being self-aware as an individual company. And as I said, being very intentional. And if you find yourself being one of these companies, I'm looking at a sheet right now of some of the tech companies that we analyzed in San Antonio, or companies that are heavily involved in tech, and I'm seeing a lot of 22%, 27%, 20%, 30%. If you find yourself in that position, you kind of have to figure out what it is about your company culture, because it's going to be different for everyone. You can have some broad trends, but at some point, you just have to reach down into what you're doing.
So, Jessica Corso, to that point, when you were doing the reporting for the San Antonio Business Journal, when you were talking to companies that didn't have a lot of women in leadership positions, was there an attitude like, yeah, we know this is messed up and we got to find a way to fix it? Or was like, hey, this is how it is?
No, I mean, I spoke to all women for my reports and they all obviously see the problem. But I do think, you know, getting back to a point earlier about tech companies, because this also applies to energy and manufacturing. These are science heavy industries and
women do science.
No, I understand that. But I do think that, you know, the latest State of Women report from the city of San Antonio, which was released this year, shows that of female graduates in San Antonio, only 12% are getting STEM degrees. So yes, of course, there are women who do science, but I do think it starts at an even younger age than that. I think the myth isn't that there aren't women who do, the myth is hurting women, young women, you know, so... Yeah.
Yeah, but it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's exactly right.
And so we have to figure out very early on, how are we going to fix that? We really want to hear some calls. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Source continues after a one-minute break. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about gender parity, power parity in San Antonio. How do we fix that when it comes to a corporate world and in a nonprofit world and the city government? How is that going to work? Because this benefits everyone when we allow the best talent to fully actualize itself, and it serves everyone better. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. We have call in now from Adriana Garcia. She is a District 4 council member. And Council Member Garcia, welcome to The Source.
Thank you, David. Thank you for having this wonderful topic on your show today. I really appreciate you.
And go right ahead. Tell us what's on your mind.
Great. Yes, thank you. I was actually calling because I think that this is a very important topic. We continue to see that women are underrepresented in certain areas. In the council budget that, or in the budget that we just passed as a city council last week, I convinced my colleagues to fund a Girls Empowerment Summit. And so we'll be reaching out. We'll be working with the Mayor's Commission on the Status of Women. And I'm very grateful to the mayor because he allowed me to bring this forward to my council colleagues to empower girls through participation, or actually through the advancement of information for jobs that are traditionally for men, where women are underrepresented. That will be the focus of the whole Girls Empowerment Summit. And I just wanted to call in and let you all know that whoever's listening to this talk show right now, that we will be looking for some experts in research and STEM and architecture in different areas where, again, women have traditionally been underrepresented, because I think that it's important for girls to feel empowered. Rasha is also going to be dovetailing this into the Camp Hero Like Her, which is a program that the San Antonio Fire Department has, where the 89 women firefighters lead this initiative to showcase firefighting and women specifically in firefighting.
All right. Councilmember Garcia, thank you so much, District 4 Councilmember, for calling in and giving us that update. Deanne Sanchez, the CEO of the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, what about mentoring? Are there leadership opportunities, classes and things that will help beat this gender barrier?
I think there are. I mean, there's definitely class. I know the University of Texas San Antonio is offering a course now, and that we're involved with as a Latino foundation with the San Antonio Area Foundation to try to get women and men on boards to try to give them some guidance. But I think mentoring is extremely important. Having somebody represent your interest and actually guide and open doors for you. And that's something that I don't think we as women necessarily seek out. And again, what I've experienced in corporate America is that you know, people will tend to lean towards people like themselves. And if you have a majority male or even white male in management positions, they're not going to gravitate towards a female, much less a Hispanic female or a female of color. So we've got to really figure that one out and make that a priority based on management's responsibility as leaders in their companies.
And back to the phones with Katie. Katie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks so much. First of all, what an important conversation we're having today. I'm the Director of Development for the YWCA here in San Antonio, and we were actually given a grant by United Way of San Antonio and Bexar County to address this very thing. And one part of our mission, which is eliminating racism and empowering women, is we're dealing with the fact that we have to look at a woman's life as a holistic point, right? If wage equity is a huge part of that, and while wages per the census are up, poverty for women and their families is higher. So we have to talk about, when we talk about wage equity, we're talking about the whole woman and what we're doing to empower them through their jobs, through their lives, and what we're doing to make sure that their existence and every woman in San Antonio has the ability to thrive in their jobs, in their workplaces, and in their homes.
All right, Katie, United Way Leadership Program for Women, thank you so much for calling in with that update. I want to address the big myth that seems to be the elephant in the room when it comes to this type of conversation. There are men that believe that women in the workplace will put their families first and that they won't be as dedicated to their job as they are to their family, and that women will, when they have children, will not be able to be as available as a man. That's a myth that's out there, and I think it needs to be discussed, and we need to put that in its place. So, Deion Sanchez, is that something that you've heard?
I've heard that, but I think now, if you look at the number, the workforce and what's represented in the workforce, and the majority of the workforce is represented by women. So I think that we've proved them wrong to the extent that there is a dependency on our paychecks to in the households. I think it's more as you move up the ladder, is do they feel that you can juggle your family, a career, and actually provide the contribution at the executive level? That's probably where you're going to start seeing a lot more of that, what I'd call discrimination as it relates to assessment or subjective assessment based on a woman's contribution. And again, you know, my experience is I've worked all my life, raised two kids, had a partner that was very supportive and was able to contribute. So I think it's just more of giving women the opportunity and making sure that we address the issues that people have in the old. And that's what I call institutional discrimination, which are certain assumptions or certain values are institutionalized where that's become the norm. And Texas is a very conservative state, and I think our community is somewhat conservative, where we have old, you know, traditional values, and that we bring those into the workforce, which is what's holding us back at times.
And Jessica Corso, reporter for the Business Journal, did you want to add to that?
Well, I think the other side of that myth is the assumption that men aren't involved in their families.
I know. That's oppressive to men as well, because expected to ignore our families at the cost of our jobs.
Well, and, you know, I can only speak anecdotally. There are some very progressive companies out there that make it very clear that men and women are eligible for, encouraged, eligible for like things like family leave, encouraged to have work-life balance with their families. So if the company, if an employer makes it clear that all employees should feel comfortable not having to make the hardest choices, certainly there can be no doubt that there are times when sometimes you work, and we talk to women that we talked for this report, and also women we talk to when we do our Women's Leadership Awards, who talk about the myth of work-life balance. What you do is you make work-life choices every day, and some days you work more and you spend less time with your family, and then other days you make it up to your families, and that should be men and women doing that at the same time. As you said, it's a myth that only women have to make those choices.
Okay, I'm going to get one more caller on the air, Roxanne. And Roxanne, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My name is Roxanne Aguia, and I am currently on the ballot for the San Antonio River Authority Board of Directors. I am a 27-year-old Latina. I am representing the south side of San Antonio and the west side of San Antonio. And I believe that the hardest part for getting young people, especially young women, interested in leadership in San Antonio is education and access.
Okay, Roxanne, thank you for that. So education and access, those are issues that impact women and many people in our community across San Antonio. So what's being done about that? So Tony Quesada, opportunities, you know, particularly at the higher education level here in San Antonio?
Yeah, one thing you see in this community and in many communities, you'll see these magnet programs. You know, women's leadership academies and other women's, and those are great, but you got to be careful not to like just take a few women and put them, or young girls, and put them in position to then get on a track towards success at the expense of all the other women who maybe there's not room for them in those programs. It's got to be encouragement throughout the entire population of young women. Otherwise, you're just going to wind up with the same percentages. They're just going to maybe grow incrementally.
Yeah, right. I think that to that point, the point that she brought up was access. It's so important because what we find now, we have a lot of really great programs developing with women, but we look to them to know about them and have access to them. Well, we should be seeking out women that we see are young women that are potential leaders and bringing them into the fold, where we have responsibility to reach out, reach in and pull them up, because what's happening, and we have, and I oversee a lot of the programs that we have as well, and we're just not getting enough of a representation of the leadership that's out there because they don't know about it or they don't know how to access the programs that are available to them.
And go ahead.
Sorry. To that point, you know, talking about mentorship, because I think this is where a lot of education programs come in as well. You know, most of the women that I spoke to for the TU stories that I wrote are involved in some sort of mentorship program here locally in San Antonio. There's a San Antonio Women's Chamber of Commerce. There is a Women in Energy group here in San Antonio. But again, it's all circular. I mean, it's a group of women promoting other women. But if you have, you know, 75% of your leaders are male, you need them involved as well.
So we need to come up with a broader approach, because one at a time is good if you're able to get to that point. But it seemed like overall the framework is warped. And I'm wondering about our messaging. What are we telling women? What are we telling our daughters about what their space is, what their opportunities are? Really quickly, Dion Sanchez, what is the message we need to be sending?
You know, I think if it even goes beyond that. I think if you look at it, we're trying to promote San Antonio as a global city and trying to drive towards some of the growth sectors, which are really high tech and they're very diverse sectors traditionally. And I think what we have to do as a community is realize that, you know, women, you know, the message we're sending women is that we're not ready yet as a community to take that challenge.
That's not acceptable.
That's not acceptable, because if we don't have a diverse workforce and we don't have people weighing in at that level that are women and diverse, and there is diversity, then we can't compete at the global level.
San Antonio is a city that is in competition with all other cities trying to become a leader. And if we're able to get this right and harness the most bright and talented individuals, including women, this is an opportunity for San Antonio to shine. I want to thank all of our guests, Tony Quesada. He's editor-in-chief of the San Antonio Business Journal. Jessica Corso is a reporter. She worked on the special report. And Dion Sanchez is CEO of the San Antonio Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Rospiedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.